Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Welcome, everyone. So we have a nice surprise. We have the Haftorah for Hazinu, which is David HaMelech's favorite song. David HaMelech faced a lot of challenges in life, and at each time he was victorious, or each time Hashem helped him overcome those challenges, he sang this song. This was the this was his song, and it's actually in Tehillim, almost the same version. The reason it's here is that it's similar to the song that Moshe Rabbeinu sang in Parshas. Singing is not the right word, because we think of a song, you know, just like a good tune or something like that. In Hebrew, the word shira, the song, is like a prophetic song. It's like a Thanksgiving song, a song of, it's like the words that come to a person when they're really happy, and they did sometimes put them to a tune, but it's not a typical song the way we look at a song. A good example would that be like Oz Yashir, the song that they sang at the sea. It just describes when a person is very happy and very grateful, the words are not just said in a dull way, they just sing them, they belt them out, they're to a tune, they're just so happy that they say the words in like a, and it's a form of song, but it's not like a song like you listen to on the radio or you hum to yourself. It's more of a singing is a certain inspiration when a person sings, where all of a sudden words alone don't do it. You need some music to really bring out the thoughts. And so this was the song that he sang. And it's kind of beautiful that it comes out before Yom Kippur, because a lot of the Yom Kippur davening are songs, are expressions of a person's feelings. And it's a time to be grateful for the different things that a person has gone through in life. And you know, we make the blessing at the beginning of Yom Kippur of the Shehecheyanu, thank God another year, so you just, when people are young, they just take it for granted, but it's just because they don't know, you look around, another year, we made it to synagogue, that's amazing, we're just so grateful to be alive and for the blessings that the year brings. And so this was David HaMelech. He was well known for Tehillim, of composing, or the thought of being grateful for things, of noticing what Hashem does. A person's life is different if they appreciate things. It's just other people, they just don't notice stuff. Whereas it's really an art to learn how to all the things that go right, and to appreciate that. And so that was so this was the song that he sang, and it begins the following Vedaber. It's interesting also because it says this was the song that he spoke. And David spoke to God the words of the Shira. And again, it's just because in English, a song has to, it means that this was something that was, the words were said in such an emotional way, it went beyond typical words, it turned into like a prophetic song. And it was this song. And when did he sing it? B'yom hitzil Hashem oso mikaf kol oivav. It's on the day when Hashem saved him from all of his enemies. David had lots of enemies. Really interesting. There was no person almost in life who had as many people against him at every stage of life. It's some people, sometimes when something is very good, Hashem doesn't allow good things to happen easily. There's always got to be a friction, sometimes you have something that seems to be so non-controversial. You just want to help people. You just want to do a good thing. And sure enough, you get resistance. How could it be? Like, there are people that do the craziest, wildest things and nobody stops them. And all of a sudden you just want to help people. You just want to do a good thing. But that's the nature of the world we live in, that it takes work to do good things. And, so David HaMelech, who was a very, according to the Medrash, when Adam saw the soul of David, he said, he's our man. He's the one who can finish what we started. Adam blew it, right? And he said, when he saw David, they say that Adam is ADM, Adam David Mashiach. He saw that with this person, with this soul, we could fix you know, I blew that thing with the tree and I mankind sinned. David is the one. If you remember, one of the main focuses of the sin was he wasn't grateful. You know, here Hashem gave him a wife, and what does he do? He blames it all on her, right? You don't take a blessing and blame it for things, you know. So what's the solution to that? That's David HaMelech, who was always grateful, who was always, you know, if somebody wanted to complain, he could have complained. He, from day one, he had everything against him. They thought he was illegitimate, and other people said he was from Moab, who was a hated nation, and he constantly had, the story of David HaMelech is just incredible, like you, of so many, he had medical challenges, he had family challenges, he had, you name it, he had those issues. So, but he managed, he focused on the fact that Hashem got him through each one of those challenges. And he was very, so grateful that it was more than just words, it was a song. So this was the song that he sang. And it mentions from all of his enemies, and it mentions from Saul. So the question is, why does he say Saul? Why does he say, Saul was actually tried to kill him. If you remember, he was playing music. And, you know, he hit part of the beat and he bowed his head and Saul threw the spear, and just happened to be that part of the music, he ducked his head and Saul surrounded his house and his wife lowered him down on the middle of the night in the rope, and then he was hiding in the, Saul came the closest to really getting David. So in some ways, when he finally was saved from Saul, this was he was very grateful to Hashem for that. Other people say the worst enemies are your relatives. Saul was his father-in-law, meaning like the hardest enemies. Like it's one thing if your enemy is like, you know, somebody outside the family, but to have someone in, you know, a father-in-law against you is not fun, you know. So therefore, he almost sang a special song for just overcoming Saul alone. It's also true that in the ideal world, if a person's enemies are wicked people, so you can deal with that. They're not just my enemies. They're enemies of the world. There's no redeeming. But to have an enemy who's really a good person. Saul was one of the anointed ones of the Almighty. He was a great person. He didn't like David. You know, Hashem sent him. By the way, it's a very good prototype, by the way, too. It was a mental, you know, he had. Hashem sent him a melancholy or a paranoia on him. And it was like a chemical thing. You couldn't, you know, it was part of Hashem's plan that he should be paranoid against his son-in-law, that his son-in-law was trying to take over and was going to kill, you know. But David, having an enemy like that, though, who's really righteous, David couldn't kill him. You know, David, he was delivered in David's hand. He was sleeping one night, and David came across him, and they had the spear, but he didn't want to kill a righteous person, even though Saul was trying to kill him. So it's very hard to have an enemy like that. It's nice if your enemies are just bad. When your enemies are good, that makes it very hard to have enemies who mean well and are good people. And so, therefore, he sang a special song. The Medrash says that he was even criticized a little bit for thanking Hashem for defeating Saul, because Hashem said, "You're lucky he was trying to get you. If you were trying to get him, Hashem says I wouldn't have." You have to be careful also in your words that you choose. But either way, he was very grateful for overcoming all of these enemies. Verse 2. Vayomer Hashem. So this is what he said about Hashem. Hashem is Sali Umitsudasi. Hashem is my rock and my fortress. Basically, that when a person needs protection, they go to Hashem. Sometimes a person is in danger and they're worried. No problem, Hashem. In those days, you could hide behind a rock. That was like a, you know, if you had a big rock and they're throwing things at you, you know, just go behind the rock and you're pretty safe. A fortress is probably better than a rock. Probably more, you know, more comfortable. Maybe, I don't know what the there are different words used. Now, sometimes you can be in a fortress, that's the best thing, and then sometimes you can just hide behind a rock, and sometimes they caught you, and Hashem saves you, umefaltili. So Hashem was all of that. In other words, sometimes Hashem gave me a very secure place to be, I had nothing to worry about, I was in a fortress. Sometimes I had a big rock to hide behind when the battle started, and then other times I was stuck, I was in the open, and Hashem saved me. So David thanked Hashem for all of those. Verse 3, Elokai Tzuri, Hashem is my rock. And this is an idea You ever notice that they always call when I'm in the middle of my shiur? I'm in my office the whole morning, my phone is quiet, I give a class. Kashrus emergency, right? On one hand, the rock, when you say Hashem is my rock, what it means is that you can hide behind it, can protect you. You know, if they're shooting arrows and so you hide behind the rock, but basically Hashem is protection. But it also means that Hashem will be there. In those days, they couldn't move rocks. If you had a big rock and you...
Maybe an emergency?
I don't know. Hope not. I get calls, you know, do they have cream donuts at the donut place? You know, who knows?
Yes.
Yeah, but then are they Parv? Are they Pas Yisrael? Yes, well, they're not. Whatever they are. They're kosher. When a person talks about Hashem being a person's rock, so what it means is that you can depend on it. There used to be, wasn't there an insurance company? What did they say? The Rock of
Gibraltar.
Rock of Gibraltar, yeah. Right. That means like, it's not going anywhere. You come back 20 years, it's still, sometimes you have a company that they opened, and then everybody says that about the new kosher places. Yeah, we'll see if they're here next week, you know. Because they're just used to them coming and going. But Hashem is not like that. He's the rock. The rock it's going to be there no matter what. It's always there. It's not moving. And that's there's a certain person has to have, when a person has that faith that he knows no matter what, other things in life, they may be there, they may not be there, but Hashem is the rock. He's always there. So that's the idea over here when he says Hashem is my rock. It's interesting, when they wrote the Israeli Declaration of Independence, some of the members of the original Israeli parliament were communists, and part of being the original communists were that you had to be an atheist, that you didn't believe in God, and that mankind was going to solve all the world's problems. And so they didn't want God's name to be in the Israeli Declaration of Independence. And Ben-Gurion, who was the original prime minister, some of them were in his party, and so they refused to put God's name in the Israeli, but the Israeli, the religious members of the parliament said, you know, we waited 1,800 years for the state of Israel, you're not going to put God's, you know, even the United States says in God we trust, so what are we going to do? So they did what all Jews do, they argued about it for a few hours, and then finally somebody came up with a solution that they would say, use the name Rock. That Sur Yisrael, the Rock of Israel. That's the way the Israeli independence says that. So to the religious members, the Rock of Israel is the God. To the non-religious, the people that don't believe in God, the Rock of Israel was the Haganah, was the Israeli defense. So they used like a word that you could interpret differently, was the Rock of Israel. But if you look at, that's how it begins, Sur Yisrael v'Goelo, the Rock of Israel and Redeemer. But we know who the Rock is, but just the people who don't realize that God is the Rock, you know, they just needed a term that they could use. Okay, so Elokis, God is my Rock. Exibo, I see covering him. Mogini, he's a shield. And so Hashem protects me, just like a shield. Now, sometimes he's Vekeren Yishi, he's the horn of my salvation. A horn is, an animal uses a horn to attack, you know, it's like a weapon. It can use the, also an animal, after it defeats other animals, it sticks up its horn high. It lifts up its horn. And so sometimes the horn of my salvation means like I can stand up proud. Other people learn it's a reference to shofar as a kind of horn. It's an interesting expression, the horn. Does he call it horn? Yeah, the horn of my salvation. Miska viyu, manos, he's my strength and I can escape to him. Moshi mechamas, he saved me. Now, he saves me from violence, all kinds of different things that could happen. Toshieni, Hashem comes and he saves me. And so he has a number of different situations in mind, and there are many different things in life that people face, and each you could find the word that describes that. Hashem was the shield, Hashem was the weapon, Hashem was the place to escape. Some situations you stay and fight, and some situations you're happy to get out of there. So that's why it uses that word. Hashem is a manos, he's an escape. Sometimes he helps you escape. verse 4, Mahulu Akra Hashem, I call out to Hashem with praises. Some people, they only call out to Hashem when they want to complain. Why isn't something right? You know, Hashem, why did you do this to me? So you have to make sure to call out to Hashem with praises and, you know, thank Hashem for things that are good. And I'll be saved from my enemies. Now he describes how bad it got, or how close the close calls that he had. It's interesting. This is very similar to some of the wording that Yonah uses in describing. Yonah had rebelled against Hashem and had tried to escape from the presence of Hashem, and he took the ship and he was thrown in the sea, and then he was swallowed by the fish. And that was a low point. You know, when you're swallowed by inside the belly of a fish, inside the water, it was very unlikely that he thought he would get out alive. And in some ways, it's like it's similar to this description. Ki afunin mishbrei mavis, like he was surrounded with the what does he call it? Pains of death, or the he was everywhere he looked, he didn't see how he would get out of it. In other words, the he was in a situation where he didn't see how he would come out alive. Nachle Bilal, and they were people who had no yoke about them, wicked people around him who were ready to kill him. David had just so many close calls in his life. One time he got out of it by pretending he was insane. Mm-hmm. You know, they were ready to.
We read that, don't you?
Mm-hmm. There were other times where he single-handedly defeated them. There were other times when he escaped. He just had many, many close calls. Kefuni mishbrei mavis. Yeah, verse 6. Kavli shol savuni, and also sometimes he was ensnared by sins, and he came very close to losing it all because he did the wrong thing, which also is we need Hashem's help from that. And so he says the pains of the grave, or shol is more than the grave. Shol usually means, they usually translate that what they call the netherworld, or H-E-L-L, or the, in other words, that David felt that he came close to doing things that would have been, pulled him away. Kadmuni mokshe mavis, and stumbling blocks, and all kinds of challenges. Bitzar li echra, and I call out to Hashem in distress. The Elokai Ekra, and Hashem was my personal, Elokai, my God. Again, Hashem wants us to talk to him in a personal way, to have a personal connection to him. But Yishma, and even though it's like Hashem is very holy and very in a very high place, Hashem hears me, even though I'm down here in the mud, so to speak. We get ourselves entangled in all kinds of messes. You know, look, different things that we do when we get ourselves involved in, and we have no one else to blame but ourselves, and we call out to Hashem, and he's in a holy place, so to speak. He hears us. Elokai Ekra Vishma Meheko Kol Shivati Vasnam, and my cry came to his ears. And what it describes is that when a person is in danger, a person needs Hashem's help. So he describes like an earthquake, so to speak, like Vatigash, Vatirasha, or it's Mostos HaShemayim, when Hashem like hears that the Jewish people needs his help, or David HaMelech needs his help, the earthquakes, so to speak. Vigashu Kikor, like Hashem is angry. Verse 9, Ola Ashen Biapo, and a smoke comes up in his nostrils. It's just a very poetic picture. Ve'esh Mepiv Tocho Gecholim, it's like a burning fire. Verse 10, Ve'yet Shemayim, and even though like David is describing like being in a battle or being in very great danger, and it's like down here on the earth, and all of a sudden he calls out to Hashem, and he pictures like Hashem like coming out from the heavens, like almost like the heavens opening up and the earth quaking, and Hashem like sends a messenger down here. The heavens open up and the clouds open up. Verse 11, Yirkav al Kruv, and it's almost he describes Hashem riding on a cherub, like riding on an angel, so to speak. And it's like coming to the rescue. We sometimes have to, you know, it sometimes helps to picture things or to look at things. We believe that there are other worlds out there that we don't see, and we're sometimes surrounded by those worlds. We know that from different places in Scripture, where there's other forces that sometimes we don't, you know, we don't see that are there protecting us, saving us. Many times in life, there are like close calls, And we think, oh, that car just happened to hit the brakes, or, oh, you know, the person stopped before they came to the cliff. What's actually happening is Hashem, like, is sending somebody to protect us, or he surrounds us, or he's looking out for us. And sometimes we picture that, you know, like the, sometimes you sense it, you know, like you sense other, Yom Kippur is a great time for that, like, or you feel that there's stuff going on up high. You feel the angels, and you feel like the, there, it's just like a heaviness. I don't know how to explain it. It's like a, you know, at the end of Yom Kippur where you say, Hashem Hu Elokim, you know, like the, there's seven times, it's like Hashem's presence is down here, and as each one, he goes back up, you know, like it's really interesting. Yom Kippur is an experience. There's no question that it's a lot of work, and we're afflicted, and it's challenging, and we're hungry, and we're thirsty, and we have a headache, and at some point you really have a hard time staying into the davening. And I always experience this. I'm just sharing with you because we're all very human. But at the very end, it's sad. It's almost like Hashem is going back.
You want to pull him back.
You want to pull him back, right? There's like that closeness is like going away, and like, all of a sudden it hits you, well, you got to go back to the rat race. Like, you can't just be spiritual, you know? Like, there's a certain feeling at that moment, you know, that you've been really trying so hard to do the right things and to become a better person, and it's over. Now you got to go back to work, you know, so to speak. And, there's like a certain... But the sensing of things going on, there are other... Like, there's this intense presence of Hashem that's here at certain times. Other times, sometimes people sense relatives that are deceased. Sometimes people sense, you know, the divine, that there are certain moments that people have that sometimes you pick up on those senses. But David HaMelech sees like Hashem, like coming to the rescue. He doesn't know how. Battles are like that. Many battles, people they felt the battle was lost, or there was no way they could win, and they did. You know, you look at many battles, you know, and then afterwards they come up with explanations for them, but there's really no explanation. There are many people will tell you they don't understand how they got out of that alive. They don't understand how they won that battle. They don't know, you know, it just makes no sense. He describes Hashem like riding on the angel. Now again, Hashem has no form. He has no image. We believe that Hashem, that's one of the, we say that in Yigdal, right? That Hashem has no form or no, there's no real picture of Hashem, but he describes Hashem riding on this quick angel, the Yoyif, like a clouded angel, the cherub, and flew. Verse 12, Yashish Koshek Svivav, and he comes in like this cloud that's around him. Sukkos, and he's surrounded by water, and Ovishkokim. It's interesting, David, the people didn't always know the clouds had water in them or were made of water. He describes Hashem with like the clouds and the water. Verse 13, Minoga negdo boro gachle esh. He describes it like the sun, like fiery coals. Yurei min ha-shamayim, Hashem ve'oyin yiten kolo, and there are voices, ve'yishach chitzim. And Hashem sends out the arrows, ve'afitzim borok, and he scatters them, and lightning, ve'yura fike yam, and... It goes to the foundations of the world. But Garas Hashem, it's like Hashem's anger. From Hashem's anger, he has all types of weapons. Verse 17, Yishak Mamorim, Hashem sends from Apai, he takes me out of it, he saves me. And I'm in deep water. You know, sometimes a person's in really deep, so to speak. They're like, they're and Hashem saves me from very strong enemies. And these are enemies, you have different, sometimes people have enemies, it's like that's their job. And then there are other times their enemies, they really hate you. Misonai, you know, like there's sometimes that, you know, during, I think it was in World War I where the soldiers, it was during a holiday, they have like a soccer game or something, or they, you know, when they're not during battle, they have nothing against, when they're not trying to kill each other, they have nothing against each other. And then you have other soldiers where they really hate each other. They, you know, they won't talk to the other side. You know, it's interesting, you have both types of things. They're stronger than they were stronger than me. Sometimes a person has a bad day where like nothing is going right. That's called Yom Edi. And even on those days where nothing seemed to go right, or it seemed like this day was just not going to be successful. And then Vahi Hashem Mishum, Hashem supported me. When you have those kind of, I think they call it a bad hair day or something, or like, you know, it's just everything's going wrong. So on those days when everything's going wrong, Hashem is there for me. He yates the merchak, and he sometimes he comes from afar, and he brought me, yachutzeinu ki chafetz bi, he desires me. Hashem wants me to serve him. Verse 21. Now, David HaMelech made it his practice to serve Hashem, and therefore, he saw Yigmleni Hashem Kesid Kasi. Hashem pays me back. You know, we do for him; he does for us, so to speak. So he says, Hashem pays me back. I try to do the right things, and he I always see that it comes back to me. And a person should feel that. Like some people, we invest a lot of our time, a lot of our efforts, a lot of our money into causes. We have to feel we get it back, and many people tell you they do. You know, but Hashem pays me back. And the more I try to do the right things, I see how Hashem paid me back. You know, that's the. I knew someone that was becoming observant, and he was telling me that every time he became more observant, he felt like Hashem paid him back. You know, like try to do this, so all of a sudden, you know, he's got a raise. He tried to do this. He got some way. He made it to a certain team he was trying to get on, or like that. But a person should think that way, that Hashem does pay a person back. Like we do a lot of sacrifices. It's not easy to do all the things that an observant person does. You know, like the but Hashem pays you back. It's important to see that we get back for what we do. What we do for Hashem is a drop in the bucket for what He does for us. Verse 22. Kishamarti darkei Hashem. He says, I kept Hashem's ways. I really tried to keep His ways. Now this is interesting what it means. Velo rishati, and I wasn't wicked. I wasn't more wicked than God. What does that mean? I'm not sure. What does it mean on 22? I wasn't more wicked than my God. I wasn't a bad boy.
I haven't departed wickedly from my God. Maybe he didn't do bad things.
I think we all do some bad things, but it wasn't that bad. Maybe that's what it means. Even when I did bad, it wasn't worse.
It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad, yeah. That could be that. It's interesting, though, that he uses that word. You could see the earlier part that he was bragging. You know, he was saying, Hashem pays me back. I try to do the right. So he's admitting that sometimes I also was a bad boy. But there's also damage control. Even when a person is bad, it's not that bad. You know, I wasn't more wicked than my personal Hashem, that Hashem saved me. 23, Ki kol mishpatav lenegi. And I always tried. I kept the rules in front of me. I always kept the rules in front of me. If you don't keep the rules in front of you, then you won't know to do them. You have to try to study the rules. And even those rules that are statutes, lo aser minat, I didn't let them fall away. I always tried to do everything, what I understood, what I didn't understand. 24. Vaya tamim lo. And I was a tamim. I was, that's the same word as tmima. I was whole. I was complete with him. I was, I didn't question. I just did what I was supposed to do. I was tamim. That protected me from sin. Tamim is like straight or honest, straightforward, like not crooked. He was saying that I was straight with him, perfectly innocent is the way he says it. But Yeshiv Hashem li kitzitkasi kiboyle, and Hashem always pay me back. Verse 26. If you're a pious person, if you try to go the extra 9 yards, guess what? Tiskasid Hashem goes the extra 9 yards with you. Im gibor tamim, and if you are always wholehearted with Hashem, then you get it back wholehearted. But if you pretend to be a fool, then he'll be a fool with you. And if you tend to be crooked, im ikesh titapel, then he'll be crooked with you. But basically, it's the concept of mita keneged mita. Hashem treats us the way we treat others. One of the reasons that before Yom Kippur we try to forgive other people is that we want Hashem to forgive us. And the greatest way to do that is to be forgiving of others. Reality is that what others do to us, we have to realize that you know, we also have done, you know, haven't always done to what we've promised Hashem and what we said we'll do. And if we're willing to be forgiving, that's a great is a very good chance that Hashem will forgive a person too, if he can find it in his heart to forgive others. And so that's certainly one of our best tools before Yom Kippur, is to try to be a forgiving person. And again, there are many people that maybe don't deserve forgiveness, but if we can find it, you know, life's too short, you know, we can find it in ourselves to be forgiving, then that's a valuable thing. Then we can come to Yom Kippur and say, you know, Hashem, I really shouldn't have forgiven this guy, but I was able to. So I ask you, Hashem, let me have another chance. Let me be forgiving of what I've done. Then that's a very powerful tool before Yom Kippur. And so that's why the custom is before the day before Yom Kippur. Tomorrow is the. Some people say you could do that year round too, but especially somehow Yom Kippur is sometimes easier because it's embarrassing to approach a person and, you know, out of the blue, and, you know, especially when he doesn't like you very much or you did something. And, but on Erev Yom Kippur, you can get away with it. You know, I want to wish you a good year. And by the way, you know, all those things that I did to you, I'm sorry about that. And, you know, but that's a tool. And so, but Hashem treats us the way we treat others. If we can be forgiving, then Hashem will be forgiving to us. And that's a very important way to go. And again, people that are crooked, so things come out crooked for that. It comes back to a person. You know, we believe that if a person uses, let's say he tells lies or he does things that are wrong, good things don't come out of that. You know, short term, a person's sometimes very proud. You know, they lied and look what they got, you know, this and that. No, it doesn't work. We don't believe in that. You got to do, if you do good things, then good things will happen with you. 28. This Am Ani Toshia, and a poor nation, a nation that didn't have much, Hashem save, and Echa Ramin Tashbil. And those high people, haughty people, Hashem lowers them down. That's another thing. Hashem doesn't like arrogance. The other thing we try to do, and you see that in the Yom Kippur prayers, is we try to be humble. We try to we confess sins even if we don't know if we did them, but we're sorry. We try to be as sorry as we can. You know, we come very humbly in front of Hashem. You know that a lot of the Yom Kippur prayers are like that. You know that I don't deserve anything. I don't know what I am, but you know I turn to you, Hashem. But the people that come and are high, you know, Hashem lowers them. Hashem takes them down a notch, and so. If we take ourselves down, then we don't need to be taken down. That's sometimes things happen to a person just to humble them. Just this person is too arrogant, and then Hashem. So we try to humble ourselves. Those are all very helpful. Kiata Neri, Hashem, you're my light. You know, in the dark, people stumble; they can't see. But Hashem is a light. V'Hashem Yagia Chosh Hashem. In the darkness, you're there. 30. Ki Becha Ortz Gedud. This is really interesting. David HaMelech says, with you I can smash a whole troop. And he did. In other words, you'd have, you know, you'd have 100 of the enemies coming, and it would just be David, and he would just take it up himself. He would just run against them because he had Hashem on his side. When he felt Hashem was with him, he could take on the whole world. The Ki Becha Oretz Gedud, with you I can go against a whole troop. Now, sometimes they had these walls, and you would take like a running start and jump over the wall, and you had no idea what was behind the wall. You know, sometimes there was like pots of boiling water or people with spears, and you know, but David HaMelech was like, you know, he was fearless. He would just go, and you know, when he felt Hashem was with him, he just went, and he jumped over the wall and went right into the city, and he went on the attack. If there's thousands of people, he would come running, and that's the secret. Ki Becha, verse 30, with you. When Hashem is with me, I got nothing to be afraid of. I can take on the world. 31. Kel Tamidarko Imris Hashem Srufa. Hashem is, he's very straight and very perfect, and his words are so refined. Mogei lechol hachosim ba. It's a shield. It protects me. 32. Ki mi kel mebad Hashem. And there are other things people believe in. There are other gods. Everybody has their god, but nobody is like Hashem. No, nothing compares to Hashem. Omitsuo, and there is no other rock other than our God. Hekel Meuzi, I think the Israeli machine gun they call the Uzi, right? Hashem is my strength. The gun isn't the strength. The real Uzi is Hashem. Hekel Meuzi, Hashem is my strength. Chayo v'yiter tamim darko, 34. Mashra raga kayelos. Sometimes people can't walk so well. Hashem makes my feet like very fast they call that a hind, but it's like a it's a very fast animal. It's a 34 is a he calls it a hind. I think it's a kind of deer. Like a very fast deer. So Hashem gives me like feet like a deer. I can, you know, but now sometimes it's very hard if you try to climb a mountain, some of those streets, you know, the hills are, so Abba Hashem could help me stand up on those hills. Malamde, now what, sometimes a person goes into war and they don't know how to shoot the guns. They don't know how to, they never did this before. They don't know how to do it. So he says, verse 35, Malamde Yadilun, Hashem teaches me. Like he gives me the skill to fight the battle. But Nachas Nechoshes, and they used to have these copper bows and arrows, and you have to, a certain skill to know how to use them. They said that David HaMelech had saved in his palace some of these bows, and the way they make them, they were made out of iron, and then they tie the rope, and when you pull it back, so the further back you pull it, then it shoots. And in a battle where you needed to go, sometimes you needed the arrow to go far, you pull it stronger. And they made it so that these bows wouldn't really bend. They were supposed to be strong enough. But David HaMelech was in battle, had so much strength that his bows broke. And so he saved those broken bows to thank Hashem that Hashem had given him that strength in battle to bend these. And they used to say that people would look at them and say, yeah, sure, you know, he would take them, and, you know, that he was unusually strong when he fought. And so he had these bows, they're kind of mentioned over here, the copper bows. But Tita, 36, he, even though he was strong and he was fast, he knew it came from Hashem. You see that from his song. He doesn't brag. He doesn't. It all came from Hashem. Tita, Limagin, Yishev, Manaseh, Tavani, and Hashem answered me, 37. Tarchiv Sadi, like he widened my feet. He helped me. Sometimes after marching so much, it's hard to keep on going. Taktani below Manad. Sometimes people trip, you know, in battle. If a person falls in battle, that's it. The enemy's got them if they fall. Like that. Many times people, they fell and that was the end of them, because you got people coming behind you. You got people shooting. And Hashem, like, helped him stand up in the battles. 38. Not only that, it's interesting. Sometimes if you defeat the enemy, but you don't chase them, they'll just come back. And so you don't accomplish anything. They teach us in the army that they have to take advantage of a victory. Like there have been many great battles that were won, and they didn't follow up because they're tired. It's very tiring to be in war all day long.
It's called Iraq, I ran.
Yes, that's correct. You know, it's so interesting. Like, you know, you would say that it's a very basic lesson that if you got to go all the way. In other words, you got to make sure there's a victory. And so he says that Hashem allowed me to chase after my enemies, and I didn't have to quit just because I didn't stop until they were finished. A very important thing. 39. I destroyed them and finished them off. Lo yukum, and they're not going to get up anymore. They were under my feet. 40. Tazrei nechayel melchama, and he gave me strength in war. Takriya kamei tachteni, and he was able to overcome his enemies. Verse 41. And some of the enemies ran away. He saw the back of their necks. And misona atzmisem, and the different people that hated him, he was able to defeat them. Yishi ve'ein moshiya, that Hashem, he's describing the enemies that came against him. They turned away, but he didn't save them. Some of his enemies also turned to Hashem. Below Adam, he didn't answer them. Veshkokim ba'afer, and they were like dust under my feet. Ketit chutzas akadim arkim, and he was able to totally defeat them. 44. Ve'tapiteni merivi ami. Sometimes people can be difficult. They fight with you. So Hashem saved me from that. Politics can be difficult. But Hashem saved me, merive ami, from the difficult of my people, Hashem saved me. Tishmeni l'rosh goyim, Hashem put me in charge of a lot of different kinds of people. Am lo yadati. Now, he says even people who I didn't know of, there were foreign countries came that and paid tribute to David, who David didn't even know who they were. They just from far off, they came from the four corners of the world to serve me. B'nei Necher, 45, the sons of Fon, Yikashuli, Lishmoya, Ozen. People who you wouldn't expect, who were not, you know, came from afar, from different nations, to listen to me. 46. And they're afraid, even though I'm not a threat to them, they come to learn about to serve us and to help us. Chai Hashem Uborak Suri. There's actually a Shabbos Miros that has this name in 47, but Hashem lives and blessed is his rock. V'yorem Elokai Tzur Yishi. Hashem picks up, again, this is somewhat of a summary, but of the Hakel Anosi Nekamasli, Hashem allows me to get people back, so to speak, to defeat those that harmed us. Umorin Amim Takteni, and the whole nations were defeated. Umoti Ma'ovai, and he takes out my enemies. To remind, he lifts me above them. Ish kamasim, and he saves me from people that fight dirty. You know, people that are people of violence. It's very hard, you know, when your enemies would resort to doing anything, and they hit below the belt, so to speak, and they do terror, and they hit civilians, and they don't care, and we do care. We can't, you know, they hide behind civilians, and it's very hard to have an enemy like that. You have an enemy. It says here that Hashem saved me from terrorist enemies. Really, that word Hamas means like violent and terrorist enemies. When people are like that, they have all kinds of tools because they can do indiscriminate terror. They smart bombs are very expensive to only bomb, you know, the bad people. That they don't care. In fact, they want to harm as many civilians as they can. And that's very hard to have an enemy like that, where the enemy is just violent. It's interesting today, that's what we face. You know, that's what the terror is. Just so Hashem saves me from ish chamasim, from enemies of terror. So verse 3, how do I react to that? Al kein odcha Hashem, therefore I'm very thankful. And I thank you, and I'm not embarrassed to thank you in front of all the nations. By goyim ulishim kazamer, and your name I will sing songs of praise. This verse is, we have that in the Shir HaMaalos, but Migdol Yeshuos Malko, Hashem is like a tower of salvation. A tower is something that's is high up, you know, like you can see it from a distance. Like Hashem saves me from like high up or like a high tower. Va'osa chesed l'mashicho, and he became king when he was anointed. He said Hashem was just like kind to me. Hashem does kindness to David and his other kings that came out of David ad olam. And so Hashem is kindness just lasts forever. We sometimes are looking at the short picture. You know, we look at us. We don't realize that Hashem is doing kindness to us because of those that came before us. You know, the many righteous people in righteous times. And so may we all be zocha to a Gmar Ksima Tova, a good and happy year.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.